another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for Monday, February 25th, 2019, with Scott and Brian. Really enjoying the music. I didn't want it to end. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. There's Brian Dunaway over there. What's going on, buddy?
You couldn't see me, but I was dancing.
Yeah, he's just a photo today if you're watching the video version of the show, because his setup's not done and his camera's kind of jacked and he can't do it yet. So don't worry. He's just as handsome as you last saw him.
That's right. I'm not terribly disfigured like some kind of Mark Hamill in a Corvette summer.
Oh gosh, too soon. No, just long enough. Just long enough. It's fine.
Most people have no idea what I'm talking about.
That's true. Did you guys know that Mark Hamill got horribly disfigured in a car accident in Corvette Summer, a movie none of you have seen because it's terrible? And then
he came back to Return of Jedi, and he was all like, "See this Jedi scar?" And we're all like, "Yeah, whatever, Mark. We know what happened. We watch entertainment."
Didn't they all blame it on? Wasn't it a little bit jacked up in Empire? I don't remember. I thought it was Empire. No?
It might have been. You might have been right.
I think that they got away with it is because they were like, "Oh, hey, you got in a fight with a Hoth Rambo. Snowman guy."
Right.
And so he swiped him in the face, and that's why he's all jacked up. So, yeah.
Swiped him in the face.
Anyway, that's our Star Wars Minute. Let's get on to what we do best here on the show, which is talk about video games. And you may have noticed over the lifespan of this show, for the more part, we spend a lot of time talking about small indie kind of games. And I think you and I are going to buckle down in that regard. It doesn't mean we won't occasionally go, "Oh, I picked up that brand new thing and here's what I think of it." But we're going to narrow our focus even more to these kinds of experiences, because that's kind of what we do already. And so we're making it a little bit more official. Even though today Crackdown 3 is definitely on the menu.
Right. The new format starts next week.
Yeah. And it's not really, I mean, I don't want to freak anybody out. No. It's not a new format. No. It's just, it's us doubling down on what we're already doing. It is. Just a little bit more focus in that direction, which is all very good. And I would like to start today with a little game called, I forgot the name of it, Rush Rover.
Rush Rollover.
Rush Rollover. It's called Rush Rover. And, I may have talked about this before, but I don't know what show, and if it was on this show, I don't remember doing it. But back in the dizzy, I want to say early 2017 or something, I was given a code for this game called Rush Rover, and I didn't know much about it.
Rush Rover.
It was in a state of sort of early access at the time. It was on Steam, and I didn't have much to think or say about it. But at the time, I thought, all right, well, I'll give this thing a shot. It's a little rough in the early days, but I remember thinking, hey, this is a cool dual stick shooter. I'll check back in on this. And then I forgot about it, like completely spaced it, never kind of got around to it until the other day when I noticed it in my feed and a bunch of people saying nice things about it. And I went, oh, is that game still being worked on? Is it out now? And it's now officially out of early access and a playable full blown game. So I patched it up, installed it again. And sure enough, it seems to have reached much of the potential that I was excited about. Now, if you don't know this about me already, maybe you do know, I don't know. But a lot of people don't know that I'm super into dual stick shooters, and I have been since the first arcade I ever played Robotron in. Robotron changed my life. And then later, like Smash TV. Remember Smash TV in the arcade?
Oh, I love Smash TV. And I think we talked about that one on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. But it's like, you know, dual stick shooters, kill a bunch of dudes, move on to the next thing, whatever. The advent of the modern take on roguelikes rogue games that are now roguelite or roguelikes. It seems kind of the perfect combination of genres for me. I love both of those things, and I really like how they play together. So this is like one of, I don't know, 30 games I have that are structurally kind of the same. It's, you know, take your currency, buy a bunch of cool stuff. The next fight's, you know, I'm more powerful than I was before, so I won't die soon. That whole rigmarole is there.
Game mechanic.
Exactly. What I like about this is actually plays really well with a controller or with a mouse and keyboard. You can kind of you know, whatever your cheese is. I prefer controllers for this stuff, but you know, I could easily see playing this with a keyboard and mouse that's got good aim and all that stuff. They polished it up real good. They made it harder than I remember. This is definitely more difficult than when I played it in early access. Not a bad thing though. It's just a more of a challenge, and it's kind of more what I wanted anyway, because I was kind of having an easy time with the first run when I first played it. But lots of random levels, you know, boss fights, weird weapons to pick up as you go. You can also apply these like points as you go to your character that give you special abilities and different kinds of, you know, focus on health or on damage or that sort of thing. And probably the number one big standout about the game, as people watching it on the stream right now are probably noticing, is that it is very stylistically very 8-bit looking, but they are clearly doing things here that you couldn't do with you couldn't do this on a NES. Like there's a lot of enemies on screen. An NES trying to do this would have had a lot of flashing and weird sprite problems and all of that. So it's just a good reminder that one of the things I love about our modern gaming time is that people can make things aesthetically a lot like they used to look, but under the hood, there's so much more power and so much more happening that it ends up looking way better than we'd probably give it credit for. I mean, there's no way you could run this on an old 8-bit console.
Right. And I'm watching it now, and it reminds me of another game that me and you played that was a co-op. What was it? It wasn't that long ago, and it was it looked very similar to this.
Must have been really memorable. What was it? I can't remember.
No way. I think I used to give me a code for it. Oh, what was it? But what is Rush Rover? What is that like a play on the Red Rover? Red Rover send.
No, as far as I know.
Send Neil Peart over?
As far as I know, no. But you're a rover. You're like a robot guy.
Oh, so you're like roving the land.
Yes, and you can rush. You can rush. You have an ability to like jump forward real fast, and you can upgrade that ability later to have that happen more regularly, so you're not, you know, feeling like you're slow or whatever, so it's a good movement deal. In fact, the guy on the screen's doing it right now. You can choose what levels you do next. You have a little map. Tells you kind of where you're headed. When you go into that room, you got to clear all the enemies before you can get out of there. And when you do, it usually leaves a couple of chests. Those chests often have weapon upgrades, that kind of stuff in it. I mean, I'm not saying anything too revolutionary here. But I think what sets it apart is the visuals, I think, are really cool. But more than that, it just feels good. Like there's a really good, smooth, consistent, sort of zen-like quality to the gameplay. Which is what I come to these games for anyway. And I think it has it in droves. So if you like things like Geometry Wars or those other games we mentioned earlier or any other dual stick shooters out there, I think people will like this. It's a pretty rad deal. And I want to say it's like one or two people that made it. And I like supporting small developers. It's things like, what, $15? I'm trying to find it on Steam.
It is actually only $5, Scott.
$5.
You're way overselling this.
Yeah.
It's $5. Pick it up today.
Is it on sale?
And that's not a deal or nothing.
No,
not. That's just the price.
Well, that's pretty good. You're like a game show guy today. Have you noticed that in your voice? You're going, that's just the price. Get on over there for $5.
You can't stop it. I just subscribed to the Game Show Network, and I've been watching it all weekend. I can't stop.
All right. Well, now at least we know that it's a, you know,
plus it's really hard to hear myself because I don't have my right equipment. So I don't have any of the side tone.
Oh, so you're not even hearing yourself at all really now, are you?
Yeah. So I feel like everything is super dead and in my echoey office. And so it's really throwing my game. So I'm kind of like overcompensating by doing my talk show host voice.
I see. Well, then why don't you use that voice and tell me about Strange Brigade, where it is, what it is, and why it's good. Is it good?
I liked it a lot. It's Strange Brigade. I've got this on the Game Pass on the Xbox. It's one of the few games that are free right now. There's like about 100 free games on the Game Pass. I love it. It came out late last year, 2018. Strange Brigade is a third-person shooter game, but you co-op up with three other people. And it all takes place during the 20s, which me and you kind of spent some time this past weekend on Film Sack in the 20s in the Egyptian recovery stage, right?
Yeah, I like this the 20s. Is kind of, 20s is cool.
Yeah. So this is kind of more of the same. Mostly it's supposed to be more like in the 30s. And the backstory is that you're here and you're apparently going up against a witch from Egyptian times. Not to be confused with that movie that came out by the DC, that Suicide Squad, but there's a witchy kind of Egyptian lady who is causing all kinds of havoc. And it kind of reminds me, it's kind of like a Indiana Jones kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And it has this most excellent voiceover narration that just kind of explains, you know, what your character's doing, what's going on around you, what kind of enemies you're going to be facing. And the enemies you face are usually either going to be kind of like the undead, but they're more like the risen. They're mummies, essentially.
Oh, all right.
And there's different. Yeah, they're different kind of mummies. So kind of think of Left 4 Dead 2, but with mummy kind of creatures. Some of them are kind of like that kind of spit at you and spit the goo at you. Others are kind of like run really fast. And there's different types of bad mummy guys.
This looks good. Graphically looks nice.
It's beautiful. You can play it either first person or third person. I think I was playing mostly first person when I was playing it.
Yeah, it looks a little Nathan Drakey from the third person view.
It does look a little Nathan Drakey. And so you're like going to different camps. What you're really doing is you're trying to find your fallen comrade who is taken missing in his exploration. So you're going from camp to camp, kind of following his story and uncovering story elements there. And in the meantime, you'll get to a certain camp and you'll get locked in. You know, it's very God of War in that way. You'll get locked into an area and you can't leave until you have completed task at
wipe
hand.
Out everybody. Sure.
So you wipe out everything and there's this hordes and hordes of the dead coming after you. And it's a lot of fun. I like, one of my favorite parts is how the grenades function because you can have a group of a horde coming at you. And I prefer the sticky grenades. There's different type of grenades, but the sticky grenades, you can actually land that thing right on a mummy's face. And it'll just explode, and just so much satisfaction of watching all the little dry mummy wraps just kind of, and they just kind of sparkle away, and you're like, yeah.
Nice, I like that kind of stuff. Man. It looks so. Is this supposed to be in Egypt? This is in Egypt. This whole thing.
Actually, I believe this is. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be in Egypt. It's kind of hard to say. It looks like kind of like. Yeah. Somewhere in the Middle East or kind of Northern Africa, kind of in that general vicinity. So it didn't really say like, oh yeah, you're absolutely in Egypt. Or if it does, I wasn't paying attention. Mm. You know, you're not like running past pyramids and stuff.
Okay. But some of these ruins look very Egyptian, but then,
jungle. But
the actual place, yeah, it's very jungly. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of, and maybe I missed some story points that were happening there, but I like it. And you're supposed to be, your backstory is your Secret Service agents sent by the British colonial government.
Ooh.
And so So you all have these special skills. Your four characters are this typical British adventurer, swashbuckling kind of guy. And then you have a couple of more charismatic characters who are tattooed from head to toe and have these really cool, sweet kicking moves. Like,
it's all co-op play with the four characters, I assume. You can all play
absolutely
together.
you can play co-op or you can play single. I played single most of the time. I did a few matchmaking plays, but I just really this to me felt much more of a single person experience. And they developed the maps quite cleverly, because usually in certain areas you have to solve some puzzles, and they've made it so that if you're playing by yourself, objects will appear over certain areas that you're trying to access that allows you to shoot it. And so that allows you to open certain areas. If you're playing cooperatively with somebody, then in that case you would have the other person go activate something and then you would take a turn. So they really thought about both levels here.
Never heard of this game. I don't know why. It seems like something...
Just, It just came out on August the 28th, 2018. It's on the PlayStation 4. It's on the Xbox One and just PC. But Game Pass on the Xbox is free.
Well, yeah. It's free, it's not free, but you, yeah.
It's well, part, it's relatively free. It's $10 a month. And I play a lot of games, but there's more than just mummies, too. There's scorpions, which really annoy the crap out of me because they're giant, huge scorpions, kind of like the Scorpion King kind of scorpions. And they burrow under the ground, and you try to shoot them with your shotgun. You can't get to them, and it's so frustrating. But as you go along, you regain health. The more you shoot, the more health you regain back. And that's how you keep going.
Ooh, because I like shooting to get health back. That's cool.
Yeah, because you'll come really close to death, and then at the last second, you're like, come here, mummy, just a little closer, boom. And then the little sparklies come towards you, and you get up, and you go, let's go.
Yeah.
And I like that. And also, I like how they drop the health potions, because the health potions don't just show up in places. Well, they can, but primarily when you're fighting, there's one mummy who's walking around all, you know, zombie-ish, and hunched over, and he'll have the potion in his hand. Mm. And so you have to kill him for him to drop it so that you can get it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But there's a lot of cool ways to kill the mummies too, because especially the hordes of them, because you can, there's like certain areas with like these big wheels of, almost looks like what am I thinking of? It's like a pinwheel, and it's just got like these blades that swing around off this column. And if you shoot the column, which has got a little orb on the top of it, those little arms will kind of come up off the ground. They'll start spinning around like big blades around a column, and things will just get et up because those guys just walk straight into it, and heads are flying everywhere. Mm. It's so much fun.
Now I know who these guys are. This is Rebellion. They did.
Yes, it's Rebellion.
Mm. Whole bunch of old stuff. They've been around for a while. For example,
if you like the Sniper Elites.
Yeah,
like this.
They did that Battlezone refit. I don't know, but they do the Sniper Elite games. They do what else? They did the Battlefront Star Wars Battlefront Elite Squadron back in the day, back in 2009. They did an expansion to Call of Duty World at War for the Final Fronts expansion. Like, they get hired to do a lot of little stuff, and then they do their own games too. But if you go way back, these guys, dude. They start in 1993 with Eye of the Storm. The next year with Alien versus Predator for the Atari Jaguar.
Me.
Just Checkered Flag for the Atari Jaguar. And then they spent... Oh, they did Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six for the PS1. Oh.
Now, that was a game I spent a lot of time in. Rainbow Six. That was a lot of fun.
Good. I don't know what I thought I was going to get here, but it looks really good to me. I would play this.
Thanks, Ace Dior. It is the game is Strange Brigade. I did not do a very good job of
Strange Brigade.
Strange Brigade.
Yeah, I'll put these names in the post show so you guys can see it in the notes if you guys are interested. Go check it out if you have Game Pass. Like you said, it's part of that, and essentially free. If you want to buy it on Steam or PlayStation, looks like you're going to pay. Let's see.
It ain't free.
19, I think.
Oh, is that cheap? I thought it was more
something
than that.
Something like that. 29.
It's totally at 19. It's totally worth it.
Yeah, it looks like I might have to pick this up. All right. Well, let me tell you about another game, Brian. And you may have heard of this one. I don't know. I may have talked about it before. I don't know. If I did, then bully to me, whatever that means.
bully to you. Now you're reminding me of Strange Brigade.
Yeah, there you go. I love extreme sports games. Games that are just over the top. Whether it's something like NFL Blitz or freaking NBA Jam or, you know, ridiculous over-the-top sports games are way more interesting and fun to me than realistic simulation sports games. It's always been true. The stuff from Madden and NHL and FIFA and all that, those stopped being interesting to me right around the time NHL 94 came out, because at least then they were still dealing with sprites, and it was still kind of goofy, and you had to park your brain at the door, and it was still, you know, it was hockey and it had elements of simulation, but for the most part just playing a hockey video game. And I loved those games, especially NHL 94, one of my favorite games ever. EA also at the time, right around then, Genesis years, put out two games in their Mutant series. One was Mutant League Football, and the other was Mutant League Hockey. And they were both these ridiculous over-the-top games of, like, zombies and creatures and skeletons and orcs and undead and all kinds of weird monster types playing these sports. It's almost like a future sport, except, you know, the world's all gone to crap and it's run by awful creatures or whatever. I loved those games. I loved them. They had traps and, like, hazards on the field. So if you weren't careful in the hockey game, you could slip through the ice and die, or you could, in the football one, you'd fall into a lava pit because that's just where it was on the 40-yard line on the defensive side. Like, weird stuff like that. Now, it still had football. You know, you choose a line, or you choose a, what's the, not lineup. What am I trying to say? You choose a...
Yeah, your roster?
No, what do you call it when you're line, you're deciding what your strategy is? You choose a...
You choose your play?
You choose your... No, you do that too, but you choose your formation.
Crew?
Your formation.
Oh, okay.
So you're like, okay, we want to blitz and try to rush the quarterback.
Look out, Scott's a football aficionado.
Oh, I love football. I just couldn't think of the word.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Couldn't think of the word. Good. But anyway, that's all here. So all that stuff you like from a Madden game or something, that stuff's all here, and how you pass and run routes and go, okay, that guy's, you know, he's assigned to the Y button on your controller or whatever you're doing with your keyboard, if that's where you're playing it. You'd try to hit him for the long throw, blah, 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 do running plays, try to throw the other team, call audibles. All that stuff's there. But the big difference with those games was this ridiculous setting, some of the rules. Like, there were really no ref calls. You could just kill a guy, and it would just go bleep, 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 bleep. But then it'd be blood everywhere, but it was just on to the next play. So it was really stupid and ridiculous, right? So
right.
I was very excited to hear about this game, which came out earlier last year, and now they have it in this Dynasty Edition called...
Oh, some DLC content.
Yes, it's called Mutant Football League. So if that sounds familiar, if it sounds like Mutant League Football, literally they just swapped the words around and made it Mutant Football League. I don't know who worked on it in terms of, like, what this team is made up of. Maybe there's some old EA Mutant League people in there. I don't know. No idea. But they've recreated what I loved about Mutant League Football. So Mutant Football League, it's called, Dynasty Edition. It's available on PlayStation, PC, and the Switch. I do not know if it's on Xbox. I'm not sure.
It is only $4.99 for the DLC on the Steam. That's pretty sexy.
It's only
$5
for the extra thing. But I got the full-blown edition, the Dynasty Edition, both on Switch and PC. I've played both quite a bit. I think it's an awesome Switch game, by the way. If you're playing that game, that device portably, it's a great way to take, like, stupid, quick, fun football with you. But it is everything you think it is. It's bloody, ridiculous, over the top. The fields are nuts. The guys calling the plays are kind of legit. Like, they sound like real play caller guys.
Right.
And they call the game really well. It's graphically very nice. Everybody's gnarly looking. They've decided here to go with everything. Orcs, skeletons, robots. Tackling is just brutal and bloody. If you land on a landmine, you'll fumble the ball like we just saw in this video that's playing right now. Just a lot of wackadoo, crazy stuff. This is clearly a love letter to those of us who loved Mutant League Football and hockey back in the day.
Right, right. So, yeah, I like the... It is a step up. There is a free demo of the Mutant League or Mutant Football League core. But it's only $20, so that's not too bad.
Oh,
but
I like this DLC. This totally DLC, worth it, though. Totally worth
it. Yeah, this DLC content looks interesting because it looks like it updated a lot of the you know, the goofy, silly, play on word character names.
Yeah.
And that just makes me
They did,
makes
and
me
they
happy.
They put in some additional animation stuff, and it just feels like the more collect sort of director's cut kind of version of the game.
Right.
Chat room says there are people on the team that worked on those old games, which is really great to hear. Hmm. By the way, I just watched on the 30-yard line, a saw blade went across the screen, which is pretty awesome. So it's just
When will real life reflect our fantasies? When will that become a real thing?
10 years.
I'm looking.
10 years. Yep, 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
Yeah, we won't be robots, though. It'll be people. It'll be gladiatorial as hell. It'll be Idiocracy come true, but with, like, really brutal football.
Right. Well, they tried when wrestling said, hey, let's do a football league. Let's call it the XFL. They tried that for a minute.
Yeah, they did for a hot second.
For a hot second. I missed that. Well. That's too bad.
Wasn't that a wrestler guy? That was his idea.
That was McMahon's maybe at least that's where they put the face out there anyway.
Yeah, that was his thing, I think. He paid for that. He was trying to basically put a little wrestling in football.
Yeah, I wish they didn't go far enough. That was the problem with that. It was too straight.
A little
it was
bit
too straight laced.
I think I agree with you. But
yeah, it should have been more Mutant League football. I would have been down with that.
Exactly, Mutant Football League. Go check it out. Available now on all those platforms. I like it a lot. Brian, tell me about Crackdown 3. This is a brand new game.
Guess where I played this? Okay, look, I'm getting like a broken record. I've played a lot of Game Pass games lately, but it's hot for me right now. So Crackdown 3, did you play the other one?
I played Crackdown 1. I never played 2.
Crackdown 2, that was pretty fun. You're getting more of the same here, but now you got Terry Crews.
It's not enough for me, by the way. I like Terry Crews, but it's not enough for me. You're going to have to sell me harder because big deal.
No. It is 100% worth Terry Crews. Now, he doesn't appear a lot later once you start actually playing the game, but in the tutorial and the startup, it gets you pumped. I mean, who would you prefer to give you a speech before going to play somewhat of a Grand Theft Auto style game where you're dropped into the city to fight the bad guys than Terry Crews on a spaceship, essentially?
Yeah.
It's so exciting. It's awesome. I love it. It's the art style is somewhere between, it's kind of like Borderlands, kind of that simpler, more cartoony look kind of thing.
Sure.
So it's not super serious. So look, okay, I love Grand Theft Auto. I love how those kind of games play, but I have a lot of underage kids in the household, so I can't just, you know, say, get out. It's time for some Grand Theft Auto. Time for me to punch some prostitutes and do that kind of thing. So this is kind of, you know, it's got a little bit of an edge to it, but it's mostly in its attitude. So that's what Terry Crews brings to that. So you're fighting gang leaders and bosses throughout the city that you're trying to take back. And so in that regard, you get to drive vehicles. You get to get in the vehicles. Once you get in the vehicle, you are driving the vehicle, and it's also in your inventory. So if you get smoked, which I do often, you can respawn that car and start back up where you was at.
What do you say about the criticism that it's basically the first game, just, you know,
absolutely, better absolutely graphics? But it's been long enough that the first game, how was the old game like?
Well, almost it was 08 or something, 09, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been at least 10 years, if not longer. I'm fine with revisiting it with better graphics and an updated storyline because the gameplay is fun. I like the multi levels of the map because it's not like Grand Theft Auto is kind of very street level. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, some stuff you can do on top of buildings and stuff, but it's very street level. This has these huge levels of a city because it's a futuristic city and everything just goes vertical. And if you end up falling down, you can get down into like this rough bay area where there's nothing but, you know, homeless people and just hovels and that kind of thing. And then you can work your way back up to the street level. And then you can even work yourself up even higher And in order to navigate up to the higher spots to get to bosses, you have to increase your abilities. And you do that by, guess what? Killing things.
Mm.
So as you kill, you increase your abilities. And you also can collect, there's different areas where you can collect resources to increase your abilities. You just walk by and you pick it up, and next thing you know, you're able to jump a little bit higher. You got a little jetpack that kind of lets you do a little extra jumpy jump. And I just like the vibe they got going on.
The complaint I've heard, the chief one, is not so much that it plays like the first one, but that it hasn't innovated past the first one. In other words, when Crackdown 1 came out, there weren't a lot of open world games like it. But in a world of, you know, what's those? I can't think of the name of the ones that are all purple. games. What are they called? They were like Grand Theft. Originally, they were kind of like Grand Theft Auto ripoffs, and then it just got crazier. Right. Can't think of the name of it.
I can't think of that either. They're purple ones, you say.
Now everyone wears purple clothes, and it's all very purple. 3 was the best.
Saints Row?
Saints Row 3. There you go. The Saints Row games. And even like Spider-Man now, right. Open world games have gotten further down the road. And the complaint I keep hearing is that Crackdown 3 doesn't do that. It feels like an old era. And if you're nostalgic for that, great. But a lot of people are like, yeah, but some of the stuff it does, like very repetitive missions, finding the orbs isn't as fun as it used to be. You know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if that, any of that's true.
I agree. It there is a certain flatness to the game. I totally get that. There's not a lot of depth to the game. It is a lot of doing just that. And the probably the most innovative part is the multiplayer part, where you can you're playing essentially in a destroyable world.
Right.
All objects are destroyable. So that's kind of the fun part there, but I'm enjoying just having this little nostalgia trip playing single player. It feels fairly well balanced. I feel like I'm, you know, dying the right amount of times and living the right amount of times. And I keep coming back and visiting this little world. But yeah, there's nothing artistically deep about it. I mean, you're not going to be like, oh, this is the new hotness. Not like something like, I was almost going to compare it to Apex, because I feel like Apex is really, it's just really got a good, but it's kind of simple too. I don't know. I'm enjoying simple games right now.
Apex's goals are simple, but it's,
yeah,
I would argue that its execution and its systems are advanced.
There you go.
And it sounds like this game is just, I don't know, a lot of flatness, a lot of big wide hallways, because you're a little dude and there's a lot of space. And after playing something like Spider-Man,
You can't compare it to something like,
and that's
Spider-Man.
Not good though, because Microsoft needed a giant open world hit like this. And I don't think they're going to get it, because there's too many other games to compare it to that do it better. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the reason why I didn't see a lot of marketing coming up to this. I mean, it was a little bit, but it wasn't like you would expect for like Crackdown. I mean, that made a huge buzz back in the day.
Well, they announced this thing like five years ago, something like that.
Yeah. But they never really, you know, all the way down to the release, they didn't really like go, oh, it's Crackdown's coming.
Yeah. Well, last year they pimped it pretty hard, and then they delayed it. And then then it got quiet. Like nobody.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I think they knew what they had, which is an okay game. And that's the reason why day one it was available for play on Game Pass. So you could either spend $60 and buy it, or you could subscribe to 1 month of the Game Pass and play it all month, maybe even get a second month, because a lot of times if you put the recurring billing on, you can play it. They'll give you extra free month. Turn that thing off.
Sure.
End of the second month. Sure. Click.
Why not? That's what I say. That's what I do.
I think Microsoft knew exactly what they had, and they didn't try to push it any further than that.
Well, a lot of people have suggested this idea that Game Pass is succeeding and doing well, and I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Games like Crackdown 3 no longer have to be standalone $60 masterpieces. They can be good quality adds to your service you're already getting. In other words, here's a cool open world game in the Crackdown universe. All you guys who pay us $15 a month for this service, here's a new thing to play for your service. Like, that's a different value proposition than trying to sell you 100% on a $60 standalone piece of product.
Yeah, and that's the reason why my attitude is like, yeah, I enjoyed it because it was something I was already doing. They said, hey, here's Crackdown 3. It'd be like seeing a new Star Wars movie on Netflix. It'd be like, well, at least it was free. Mm-hmm. It could suck a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't pay $50 in the IMAX to see it.
No. And why would you?
So, you know, why would you? But so I really enjoyed it a lot.
All right.
Come back to it several times.
There you go. Brian has said what we were all
Crackdown
thinking.
3 Crackdown 3 is all right.
Well, let me tell you about a small game. You guys know I like the space games. Today I'm going to tell you about a little game called Ark Savior.
Ark Savior.
It's a little relatively unknown as far as I know. Little arcade space game mission shooter kind of game. Gets a lot of stuff right. The idea here is that you're a kind of mercenary dude and you're flying missions for whoever you're working for there. And story is not anything special, but and it's not voiced at all. It's all very Animal Crossing, like that kind of thing for people. And you're in a ship pretty much all the time in this beautiful graphical world. I don't know what engine they're using here, but it looks very nice. I'm playing this on PC.
How do you find all these space games? I honestly, I can be honest with you. I thought you would have been out of space games by now.
I love them, dude. I'm always on the hunt for something new. I'm looking for updates to existing stuff. Like just today, there was a big update for X4. And I loved the X series, and 4 is new and buggy as hell. And so every time they do an update, I'm like, oh, sweet. They probably fixed a bunch of stuff. They added Steam Workshop support. So I'm always poking around. And whether it's new or old, I love my space games. And this is one of those. And it's very arcadey. The controls are basically first-person shooter controls. So you don't need to be good at flying a ship. You just need to be good at FPSs. And even then, you don't have to be that good. It's just kind of a, you know, it's very accessible is what I'm trying to say. You go into these missions.
What was the name of that fighter jet game you used to play that was kind of like this? Oh, that's what it looks like to me, except in space.
The Namco game.
Freaking,
what are those called, you guys? They just came out with a new one. Jedi Starfighter. What is it? Oh my gosh. Anyway, not asteroids. Gosh dang it, I'm related to things. You guys aren't helping. I can't think of what it's called. But it's similar to that. It's very much meant to be kind of an arcadey thing. Like Rogue Squadron on N64 back in the day. It's similar to that.
Combat Ace. Ace Combat.
Ace Combat, there you go. There's a new one of those floating around. I haven't pulled the trigger on it. But very similar to that. Like, this is not a sim. You don't need one of those yoke controllers. This is not doing head tracking. Like, this is not one of those games. This game is basically, hey, we're sending you into space to kill a thing. Go do that for us. Okay, cool. I'll go do it. Hey, we also need to protect this ship while it tries to travel through the gate. Okay, well, I'll do that. We're being attacked at the end of this mission. We didn't know that was happening.
Do a barrel roll.
Beautiful, lovely, rendered... Well, you know what? Star Fox is a good comparison, actually. It's very Star Fox. But it is 360-degree freedom. You know, you're moving up, down, right, left. All the axes are being used here. And if you know all of that going in and not expecting yourself like a hardcore space sim, I think this game is really good. It's really fun. It's fast-paced. A very good-looking game. Like, awesome visuals. Explosions are real good. And loud and big and your face and all that. Lots of weapon and ship variety. You upgrade your ships and your weapons as you go. You can earn and unlock more as you move along. You have different perks you can assign. So all the stuff that we're used to these days for, you know, perk systems and kind of RPG elements, all that stuff's there.
And this is Arc Savior, right?
Arc Savior. Arc Savior. And I don't know where else it is other than PC. It could be in other places. But I like this a lot. Chat room asks if there's any PvP. There's not, but it would be great if it had dogfights because it's got great control for that. It could be a fun dogfighty space game with you and your friends. But it is a single-player affair. And I think real cool. I dig it a lot. And there's stuff to worry about. Like, you don't want to overheat your weapon. If you do, you have to let it cool down a little bit. If you shift, you hold shift, it's a boost. So you go faster. Like if you're running in a first person shooter, you have a shield amount and then you have life of your ship amount. When the shield amount goes down, actual damage to your hull happens and that can stay. Not your hull.
Did you say actual damage to your hull happens?
Hull, H-U-L-L.
Hull, okay. Hull.
Not your hull. I realize now that you're right.
You're damaged my hole.
But you do these series of missions. They get a little more difficult as you go. They're not a walk in the park. I found them, some of them, to be quite challenging, but in a good way. And there's a bunch of ships to unlock, and I like it. I'm going to keep playing it. It's real good. So, again, that game is called Arc Savior. Oh, did I
like
write
arc,
down who
power,
makes it?
Like Power Arc.
Got to give these guys credit for who makes these games.
You're right. We needed to. I skip that lots of times. We need to start talking about.
Yeah, we'll do that more often, especially with indie titles, because we want them to get the credit. They deserve it. Like when we say Crackdown, it's like Microsoft needs more of your money. But you know, some small 2-man team worked really hard on this. They could use the $15, which is all this is, by the way. It's cheap. So go check it out on Steam and wherever else it might be available. That's Arc Savior. All right, Brian bought a PlayStation Classic because he's insane. So
because I'm insane like a fox. It's crazy like a fox, I think. Anyway, I picked up the PlayStation Classic. And, you know, that thing came out at $99. I already had the NES Mini and the SNES Mini. And I paid like $69 for one and like $74 for the other or something. Good deals because really high quality stuff for some pretty good games. Nintendo never drops their prices on their games ever. So why not? PlayStation Classic came out with $99 for that little thing. And the games were just lackluster. It's like, oh, I don't really care about playing that game.
Yeah, but the rumor is they can't sell these worth a shit, by the way.
They cannot. And as was proof over the President's Day weekend, the weekend we missed, there was a deal for $40 on these things. They were shipping them out for $40. And I said, at $40, you got my interest. So I picked up one. I'm playing. I played a little bit of Rayman just to see how the console looked, because I liked the way way Nintendo did their interface, where you could saved to a virtual memory card. You were able to launch from the menus, and it was pretty decent interface. And PlayStation interface is fine. It looks good. I was able to flip through, gave me a little nostalgia feel. The games were actually looked better than I thought they would.
Really? Because everyone, I keep hearing talk that there's stuff that's like PAL format instead of NTSC. That would suck. Because that's like 50 frames or some horrible thing. Or what's the deal with that?
Right, right. Well, look,
something like that.
It's the PlayStation Classic, but it looked better than I thought it would look, because I was really from the hate at the $100 price point. I was expecting an absolute disaster on my screen, and while it was not, you know, it's not fantastic, it was certainly a lot better than I've purchased those little retro arcade games in consoles over the years, and I've seen a lot of crap, and at least this is okay crap, especially $40.
A lot of sales on this thing. $40 on Amazon.
You can find it $40 right now, and $40 I think it's about the right price. Maybe somewhere between $29.99 and $30.99.
Yeah.
That's about where this thing needs. Should have been to begin with.
Here's what a reviewer says. This is Mickey Ads 92. He says, "Don't waste your time. I had a very high hopes for this product. What a letdown. For the money, I would go out and buy a secondhand PS1 and a few hundred games. The frame rate is horrible, and most of the games and the selection is a letdown." This guy's dumb, though. He says, "Doesn't play PlayStation discs. Didn't mention in the product description, but this won't play your old games on disc. Only the preloaded ones." Well, Dirk. That guy deserves what he got. He should have known better, buddy.
I can kind of see if you were not into Nintendo at all, you probably totally ignored all the mini stuff. And Nintendo marketed it correctly, because when they first started talking about it, they called it the NES Mini, and PlayStation calls it the Classic. So that could imply that there's nothing different about it other than, you know, it's just a new package. So I could kind of see where, but shame on him for not doing at least a minute.
Do
worth
a
of research.
Little bit of research. Yeah. And also
like a minute worth of research.
And these are people that paid the full $99, which nobody's selling it for now because they can't move them.
Right.
Also, I hear the hardware in them is kind of junky and not great. So you can't do good emulation with it.
No, it's not.
Here's what I would do. This is my own personal opinion. If you must play the jittery mess that were PlayStation 1 games, that whole era from Saturn, PlayStation 1, whoever else. If you must do it, okay?
Right.
Just emulate that. Just get it on your PC and emulate that stuff. All right, that's fine. I get it. You have some nostalgia. You're going to play Battle Arena Toshinden for 30 seconds and wish you were dead. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. Most of these games do not hold up. It's totally not that. But I'll tell you, too, is a person who does emulation, a person who has just dug so deep into all that stuff, it can be such a hassle to do emulation. And I was so pleased to see these kind of things come out. I wish Sony had done a better job.
Yeah, because really Nintendo killed it with both of theirs. They're great.
Yeah, it did great. It's very complete package. Sony just kind of likes it. And we want some of that money. And, you know, they put a team together and they put it out. And they won't come back to that well.
Yeah.
That's going to be Nintendo's jam. I doubt Microsoft are seeing that. Probably like, no, no, thank you. Oh, no, thanks. Yeah, we're good.
They're probably fine. Here, so chat rooms, Bagheera, I think I agree with him. He says, for $40, you can just buy it and put it on your shelf because it's cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at $40, it's almost worth it just to have this little replica, you know?
That's essentially what I'm doing. I have a whole rack of, you know, NES, SNES, and probably the last, thanks a lot, Sony, probably the last mini console that'll probably be out by anybody.
Yeah, and we are not, by the way, we are not advocating, someone in the chat makes this clear, I would like to reiterate it. We are not advocating game piracy on the Boop Show. That is not what we do. Mm-hmm. We're not saying pirate anything. I'm saying, for example, I still have an old copy of Wipeout XL on its original PlayStation disc, but I don't have a PlayStation to play it on, yet I do own that game. I feel okay about emulating that game if I need to play it. Here's the truth, though. I really don't. The music's the best thing on that disc. PlayStation 1 and 3DO and Saturn-era games look like anus cheese. They're bad-looking games. They move bad. They have terrible frame rates. They're locked at 4x3. They're kind of garbage. And you could say, oh, Final Fantasy VII was the best game ever. Yeah, but you can get that in other places now. Legally, by the way.
Right.
Then they're doing a kind of a remaster unit deal of it right now for whenever that's supposed to be out. I don't know. But kind of like Resident Evil 2 got here recently. Similar to that. So, like, why would you even bother?
That's to be expected because you know what? That generation was like the awkward teen years for the game industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, their voice is cracking. They're trying to be something that they haven't quite matured into. And it just, but it's there, you know, and it's, you probably look back on it and regret everything, but still.
I played a lot of PlayStation with my friend Andrew back in the day, and we thought it was the greatest thing ever. And we played all the Resident Evils together, and there were many good times had on that thing. I'm just saying, in retrospect, it was you're right about it being the teenage years. It's like this weird growth area where hair's everywhere it shouldn't be, and you got weird acne, and you don't know why, and your voice is cracking, and girls don't like you, and your parents are irritating. Like, that's the PlayStation 1, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
oh man, you want to talk about some not legal gaming, man. I'll tell you, between when PlayStation 1 came out and those modded chips to modify your PlayStation 1, pop it open, solder a couple of lines on a chip, and then go to Blockbuster and rent three or four games. And then take them back in a couple hours later, you'd have four games in your pocket. I never did that, of course, but I know people.
Well, I just got a late breaking tweet. Would you like to know what this says?
Yes, please.
From somebody named M. Frank. He says, what's going on with the Boop Show? We're recording it right now, buddy. Come on in. The water's fine.
You usually tweet about it being up, and I don't think you did this time.
Oh, did I not? Yeah, but
yeah,
people know.
I posted.
People should know.
People are here.
All right, hold on. I'm sending him a link so he can get in if he wants to. All right, there's your games of the week. Now we are going to play a little game we like to play on the show. I'm saying the word play a lot, which is guess our game.
Endgame.
And it has this.
It's a me, Mario.
All right, we're going to do this and have some fun with it. I don't remember who goes first. Do you remember?
You usually go first.
Okay, that's fine. I just didn't want to jack us up and screw it up. All right, so I'm going to play a clip from a game. This is an old game, and see if Brian Dunaway can guess what it is just from the audio, okay?
I got this. Go ahead.
Here you go.
Hello? Who is this?
Any ideas? That did sound like a phone.
Is it not Space Invaders?
Nope.
What?
Nope, not Space Invaders.
It is so Space Invaders. It's like Space Invaders' brother, if it's not.
It's totally not Space Invaders. I will say it's in space. I'll give you that. It's
okay,
in space.
All right, then it's got to be Asteroids. There's only two games that sound like that.
You're
it's got to be one of those two.
Close. So close, but not technically correct. So let me think.
Let's see. There are some spinoffs to Asteroids. I can't think of it. Hold on a second. Let me think. super asteroids.
Oh, you're getting so,
it's not
so close.
Space, it's not Space Invaders. Uh-uh. So am I getting closer?
No, you're getting closer with the asteroids.
Hmm. Megastroids.
All right. I knew this one would be a little tricky, and if you never played it, it would totally make sense. Why not? But it is called Asteroids Deluxe. Oh. Fastidious in the chat just got it. Asteroids Deluxe was the game.
That's the one I was thinking of.
That is the proper... Technically, it's Asteroids 2. That's the second game in the Asteroids games. It was, generally speaking, not as well received as the original Asteroids, but I actually think Asteroids Deluxe is really awesome. I think that does
Yeah, I mean, because
different.
it added, you know, it added cheese and lettuce and bacon.
And that ringing
Delicious.
Phone sound. Yeah, all those things.
Right.
And it's really, the one thing I liked is there would be like this asteroid looking thing. Well, first of all of the vectors rotated now. So they were all like going like this. And then so they were, it was just more dynamic graphically, but also these asteroid looking things would come on screen, but they were all kind of vectored in with a bunch of lines. You weren't sure what it was. You blow it up and it turns into like five or six of the old ships from the old game. Mm. And they all turn on you and start chasing you, like home in on you to try to kill you. So now you got to kill these moving ones that are coming at you. Kind of a, almost like an early, I can't think of another example. What's it like?
I can't
think of one. But it's good. It's dynamic and fun, and I like it. All right, Brian, I'm playing yours now. Let's see if I can figure this out. You ready?
You'll never get this. It's impossible.
Okay, this is Protein from the Sea. Here we go.
What?
Oh, I know it.
That's the giveaway.
It's
the giveaway.
Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah, there you go.
What?
Oh, dude, I played so much Abe's Odyssey back in the day. I love that. Okay, speaking of PS1 games that hold up, because it's not 3D, they're 2D sprites.
Ew.
What a game, dude.
Yeah.
I love still those love Abe games. Those Abe games were so good. Whatever happened to those? What are we doing now? Isn't there...
Oh, they did a little... didn't they have like a little
they did a
not too long ago?
They did a remaster of the first one.
Like a remaster, yeah.
Yeah, but are they doing anything new? That's what I want to know. New Abe's Odyssey games. Okay, here we go. Oddworld inhabitants. Are you doing anything new? Let's see. Oh, there is a new Oddworld.
Yeah, remember there was that whole thing on the Oddworld Strangers Wrath and that kind of stuff. They had that little thing.
It's called, I think it's called Oddworld Soulstorm. No, that's not it. Let's see. New Oddworld game trailer. Let me see if this says anything. Okay, there's okay. 3/20/18. Explore his origins. Okay, so it's some kind of... They just repeat it. It's just some kind of teaser. So maybe they're working on something. I love those games. So good. Fun. They were... You know what they were a lot like? They were like... was it Alone in the... Not Alone in the Dark. Can't think of names today. What's wrong with me?
Man, you it's okay. You had that whole weekend full of people at your house messing the stuff up,
they
right?
They still are up there, too, right now. But dude, they're in the other side of the house, so it's not making too much noise.
Get out of my space!
What's it called? Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with my brain? Anyway, it's like screen to screen, very puzzly. Y'all need to... This is what happens. Is it
Pitfall?
No. I get super brain melty at about 3:30 in the afternoon.
Dude.
It happens
every
day.
You've been podcasting all day. You got to be on time.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, shoot.
But I stayed up all night, or I stayed up one morning until like 6 a.m. to get this game, and I can't think of the name of the damn thing. You'd think I would never forget
right.
that game. It's not missed. Everyone in the chat's just throwing out names now. It doesn't work.
It's missed. We don't have enough information. It's screen to screen. Now,
it plays like this. Games. It's like Abe's Odyssey. It's this exact same formula. It was just a different couple of.
I know what you're thinking of.
Out of time.
You're thinking of Spot.
No.
That 7-Up game.
No, that was like a Mario game. That worked like that.
That wasn't like a Mario game. It was like on a beach somewhere, but it was kind of like that.
Out,
linear
I got it. Out of this world.
Out of this world.
And the other game was a follow-up with some of the same people called... Oh, it's a flashback. That's it. Flashback. I played Flashback until my eyes freaking bled. It's my favorite Genesis game. Maybe of the entire run of the Genesis, now that I think about it. That and NHL 94 were my favorites. Oh, there were a bunch of games I liked, but that was right up there. Well, you know what's funny? Even back then, I had the same. I had tastes like this. Like I would get really into the games that were not the big giant sellers. Like,
right?
Do you remember a game called? In fact, we were talking about it on the show because I played it before. I think it was our Guess Our Game before, but it was called Subterranea. Do you remember this game at all? Mm-hmm. I love that game. No one's heard of that except us. Yep. That's it. It's like this weird cave diving, strange freak floating ship thing. That's like nothing else, and it was like nobody knew who made it, nobody knew much about it, none of my friends knew what it was, but right. I loved it.
But I that was me too, because I would spend hours digging through game boxes at different places, like Fry's Electronics back in the early 2000s. Box games were all the that's all you could get.
That's back when Fry's wasn't a crack house full of like dead people. Yeah.
Right. And so, man, I remember just picking up all these clones of any game you could think of. I think I picked up one called Amazons and Aliens.
I remember that.
And it was just, it was such a weird offshoot of a game. It seemed like it was like some kind of World of Warcraft kind of, not World of Warcraft, but Warcraft.
Here's that Subterranean kind of soundtrack, by the way, a little bit of it. Subterranean. Dude, that is so cool. You're just underground, dude. Oh, it's so good. It was a hell of a game, and it looks like somebody else, Ben Forgot in the chat, remembers how good it was, even though his name is Ben Forgot. Jeez. All right, well, there's that. Well done, everybody. That was a good time.
That's fun.
That's a nice little walk through Memory Town.
Memory Town.
I don't know what Memory Town is. I don't live there, though, I can tell you that. All
It's across the street from Lazy Town.
There you go. Oh, what's up with that weird girl and that strange dude? Remember that?
Yeah, he just passed away this past year, yeah.
Yeah, he was weird, that guy. With the chin and everything.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he was weird, but the whole premise was very creepy visually.
I think so, too, because the girl was kind of set up to be a little, I don't know, I felt like that show is for weird Canadian pedophiles or something. I couldn't tell.
John Krafalasi, is that what you're saying? Is totally into that show?
Wait, is he? Oh, yeah, dude. He's Canadian, too, also, isn't he?
Yeah, he was Canadian. And
plus,
of course,
he's had his issues, yeah. He's
he has a little Me Too moment not too long ago.
There was something about it that was just weird. I can't put my finger on it. I couldn't watch it because of it. It just weirded me out. I don't know what it was.
Right.
Anyway, the puppets are also weird. I didn't like the puppets on there. Hey, look at this. We got a call. You want to hear a call from a listener?
Oh, we have a call? Give me the calls.
Yeah, we're getting voicemails now. You can call us at 801-471-0462. That is 801-471-0462. Write it down, and we'll play it on the show if you want to call us. This is a call. This sounds, they've obviously roboted up some text. You guys, it's okay if you use your real voice. I don't know. I got one of these on Skim, too. I don't know if they're just dicking with me or what the deal is, but anyway.
Well, we never make fun of anybody's voice. I don't think we've ever made fun of somebody.
No, me
besides
either.
Ourselves. We make fun of each other all the time.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Not callers.
So here it is. Let's see what happens.
Hey, Brian and Scott. This is James, and I have a big question for you. If you had to pick the best indie game you have ever played, what would it be? I know this will be hard. So if it helps, how about in the last 5 years or so? Thanks and looking forward to hearing from you. James from Canada.
Yeah, that's a really unsettling voice, isn't it?
It is.
I'm here for her. It's not like a Swedish chef a little bit.
I know mine if you want me to tell you.
Yeah. Favorite indie game from ever or 5 years ago, whichever you
okay,
got.
Okay, so I was going to go in the most recent ones. There's a lot. There's plenty. Oh, my God. If it's infinity back, I mean, there's so many.
You know, we're buried in it now. There's no getting away from this idea that we are constantly covered in 40 million freaking indie games that are making it so we can't breathe. So
now the game that I rank this game really high because necessarily that I like go, oh, this is the greatest game ever. It kept me hooked. I played this game from beginning to end in one sitting. That rarely happens for me. It's called Pinstripe. It's a kind of a puzzle game.
Yeah.
And it's on all the platforms. You can, well, not the consoles, but it's on Windows, Mac, Linux, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this little small indie developer, Thomas Brush, who's working on a new one, and I kickstarted this one. It's called Coma. Might be more to it than that, but there's definitely no word Coma in it, and I'm waiting for that to come out. But yeah. Pinstripe, it was this really just atmospheric, fantastic music just going on, this idea that you have this evil spirit that is against you. The entire puzzle story that you're going through is just... it's such a great experience.
Oh, yeah. Really, you, I remember you talking about this. Look at that game. That's cool looking.
Love it. It's so good. Yeah.
Legs.
Once Upon a Coma is his new game. And this guy's in South Carolina, so just right up the road.
You should go visit him.
That wouldn't creep him out at all. No. Hey, I do a podcast. How you doing?
Yeah, do it.
Coming in.
He'd love it. Coming in. Save me a seat. I'll be here for dinner. That looks like a fun game. I would play that. That's very indie.
You should totally play that.
And chat room says it's a very Dunaway game. I agree.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
That's right up your butt, as the kids
say. Straight up your butt.
Yeah, straight up your butt. for me, this is so hard.
It's a tough one.
I tend to lean toward, probably Bastion. I think Bastion's good.
That was going to be my other guess, but it almost feels at this point, Bastion has gotten so big, I almost sometimes forget that it's an indie. Because it was huge.
That game's awesome. I think it's lived up to its potential in a way that makes it almost not indie. It's so well known. I don't know what the definition is, right? Indie is weird. Like, is indie three or four people making a thing? Well, then it qualifies. Because that's all that was working there at Supergiant Games at the time. So it's entirely possible. But I have so many strong memories of that. I feel really, really powerful feelings for Papers, Please.
You really loved that one. That was really good, though.
I love that. I think that most of what Klee makes, I don't know if you consider them indie anymore, though. But at the time...
It's true. It gets kind of tough.
FTL is amazing. Into the Breach, their new one's really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. There's so many... Would you call Journey one? Because it was a pretty small studio when they made Journey.
Absolutely, I would call them an indie.
I like Broforce. I like Gunpoint.
Oh, yeah, Broforce.
These are all games of the last 5 years that I think of that I have really strong feelings for. Transistor was really good as well. Nidhogg probably should give it a big shout-out to Dead Cells, because it's not only is it newer, but it's right up there. Like, that's one of my favorite indie titles ever.
Right.
Yeah, there's just too many, dude.
It's a real recent game, Celeste. It's on the... I've had it in several locations, so I haven't had a chance to play it.
Chat room's right. Factorio, Firewatch, Gone Home. There's so many.
So many good things.
Stardew Valley's good.
I think... But he was looking for something, you know, kind of like out of the way.
There's something that really left an impression on you. You know what? I'm going to change mine to... If the artistic and kind of story impression that... the indie game that gave me the biggest impression probably in the last 5-6 years, Machinarium.
There you go. That's what I was trying to think of. Machinarium. Yeah. That was a fantastic little steampunk looking robot guy. Yeah.
It's a point and click adventure, but man, the art in that and the animation and the imagination on display, it's really still nothing quite like it, except they make their own games. Like Samross 3 or whatever it is, that's also pretty weird and cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys make trippy for
games. And those guys, that's how I got into doing the Humble Bundle. Because those guys were constantly showing up in bundles on there, and I was just like, these look totally interesting. I'm thinking I'm gonna pick one up, and then my long term relationship with those guys.
Like this.
All
right, well, there's your emails. Thanks everybody for participation today. That was her phone call. I have two emails still. What am I saying? I haven't read these yet.
What?
How about this one? Hi, Scott and Brian. I picked up Rebel Galaxy, the first one, after hearing you guys talk about it almost incessantly.
Yeah.
He says, thank you. It scratched an itch that I had long forgotten from Freelancer and Privateer. Please keep on talking about space games and indie games. Better still, indie space games. Love the show. Take care. Marty. He's in suddenly cold Canberra. I don't know where that is.
Right. Speaking of indie games and itching, don't forget to head over to itch.io. There's a lot of good indie developer people releasing their games.
Never even heard of that. What is itch.io?
Wait, never. You said this last time, I think.
Oh, no, yeah. This is the one. You're right. I didn't.
Did I say itch.io? Don't go there. I think that might be wrong.
No, that's right. It's the one.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. This is the one we talked about before that you were like, hey, I can't believe you don't know about this. Tons of indie stuff in here. And they do like game jams and put the results up here and all that. Rain Swept is cool. Yeah. So if you're a big indie nerd, this is a good place to go. Where is
big itch, indie nerd.
Is itch dot something else not a place they want to go?
I don't know, because I just went there and my computer went nuts. And so maybe I mistyped it. It is itch.io, but for some reason my computer said I'm gonna have a spasmic fit.
Well, itch.com takes me nowhere, it just hangs.
And right, so it's itch.io, so it's the right location.
Itch.net, let's see where that takes us. Site is under construction and coming soon.
You're playing a risky roulette game.
Yeah,
there,
I'm playing
Scott.
A bit of a game. Why am I doing this? It's a bad idea. The worst indie game of all. Random website searches. Don't do it.
Right. Don't do it.
Marty, I agree with you, and we will continue. Trust me, I'll continue to talk about weird independent space games because I loves them. Don't you worry your little head. And in fact, I know we still don't have a date, but it's got to be soon for Rebel Galaxy Outlaw, the sequel. It's got to be any day now or any month now. I can't wait. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Boop Show 200 says, Andrew Bailey, you guys talked about the overcomplicated Anthem purchase options. They are as follows. He's correcting me because I kind of got it wrong. Standard Edition, $60. Legion of Dawn Edition, which is pre-order bonuses at $80. Origin Access Premier, which is $15 per month and includes all content in the above editions plus access to many other games. He says, I'm personally skeptical of Anthem's launch, so I opted for their Origin Access Premier. I get to trial the game for 30 days and within 10 days of early access, or get 10 days of early access in order to make my final decision, and then I can opt in to purchase the full game with a 10% discount.
That's the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah,
especially
go ahead.
Yeah. No, because I've heard the same from people.
He says you can save $45 if you don't like Anthem, but we'll spend $9 more if you do like it. I think that's a pretty decent deal, says Andrew. I think he's right. That's probably the way to do it. I ended up liking this premiere service so much that I'm going to stay around for a while.
Oh, really? So you are subscribed to it? I'm going to...
For now.
I'm thinking about doing it, too. But right now, I'm pretty heavy loaded on all these services. I've got Game Pass and Xbox Live, and
it's going to start adding up, dude. Because I don't have any... I don't have anything other than PlayStation Plus that I pay for.
I have PlayStation Plus. I'm not doing their game service. I've thought about it, and I'm also doing the Humble Bundle, and, you know, I'm going to have to slow down the services, man.
Yeah, slow down on the Humble Butthole. Oh, also, what was the other one? The Switch one I do, $4 for that a month.
I don't do that one because I'm just not interested in the...
Then you haven't played Tetris 99. It's so good, dude. It's so good.
But that's one game for a monthly service.
It's so good. Oh, you get more than that with the service. You get all kinds of stuff, including the ability to play multiplayer of anything. But you get all their NES games that are in there. I hope they get Super NES games in there soon. Like, there's value to it.
When they put the SNES games in there,
yeah,
I'll bite. But you know what'll happen? It'll be $10 a month.
They better not do that. If they do that, I'll be pissed. That would be bad. If they start segmenting this thing off by platform, like 16-bit era is going to cost you more, freaking
right.
Take one in the pooper for me because I'm not doing it. Not doing it. But I do want people to call in and send us emails. Marty and Andrew did it. They did it with boopshow@gmail.com. And that phone call came from, what was his name? I forgot his name. Hold on. I'm going to play him again.
Hey, Brian and Scott. This is James.
Okay, James. James from Canada. James, thank you for that. And although you can just use your voice next time. Maybe he doesn't have a mic or something. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
That's what I was curious about. So I've done that before. Like, I'll be at a location where I don't have my mic hooked up. And I'm like, I want to ask a question. It's like, I don't want to call a number.
Yeah.
I'm lazy.
Yeah. And so he just emailed his attachment. That's fine. We'll take him. But what we really want you to do is pick up your phone and dial. If you're out of the country, you do a +1 at the top. Okay. Because there's country codes. It's real easy. We have number one because we invented phones. Sorry, just the way it is.
Apparently so. I've always thought, I'm like, I feel so guilty about that. I'm like, really?
But we invented it. So we get to choose first who gets to be who. Or we were just number one, and then as phone adoption started to spread around the world, as it should, everybody else would go, okay, we're two, we're three, we're four. It was fine.
Right.
It was fine. We just got to be number one. Anyway, doesn't make us special or cool. It just means we have that number. Anyway, the number is 801-471-0462 is the number, and we would love to hear from you. And like I mentioned, boopshow@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @boopshow. And our Reddit page can be found very easily at boopshow.reddit.com. All of this is listed over there at frogpants.com/boop. So if you're like, I don't remember any of that, Scott, just go to the website and you'll find it. frogpants.com/BOOP. Brian, any final thoughts, parting words before we go?
Dude, I don't know I'm going to play this next week. I'm at a loss.
Really?
It's pretty packed in there, but I will tell you this. I've been playing. I got to kick my Apex addiction.
Yeah, it's
good. Because that game's getting into that.
That game's a real booger.
It didn't help that my squad won the other night completely.
Yeah.
And I notice I say my squad because I didn't do it.
Yeah. No, it's not you.
Zero kills. I was a medic. I saved the good guy.
You saved lives.
I saved the good players. Every time they would die, I'm like, get up. I'm going to die if you don't get up.
What's Healer Robot Lady's name? I forget her name. Frida. Francisco.
Frida.
Loretta. Frida. Sanchez.
She's not a robot, though. The medic is not a robot.
Well, she
the
carries robot a robot with her, though. She's got her own robot friend.
Yeah. What's her name? I play her almost exclusively, and I can't even remember her name.
Lifeline. It's Lifeline.
Lifeline.
Yeah. Laughline.
Laughline.
Loveline. You call in and ask sex questions. Welcome to Lifeline. Have you fallen down and can't get up? Let me know and I'll put my robot on you. All right. What?
Tondagosa asked to stream some things. I do like to stream some things. Tondagosa, going to do more of that.
Yeah, you should stream some things.
I stopped posting my stuff on YouTube. I'm done with them.
Well,
I'm done.
F those chuckleheads. They're hard to work with, I'll tell you what. All right. Well done, everybody. Thanks for being here. You can catch this episode on YouTube, though, if you go to frogpants.com/.
Screw them. Don't put us on YouTubes.
It's there already. Too late.
Damn it.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back next time with more. Between now and then, have a great week. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.